at the Word of God with the right heart attitude of respect and awe and reverence for the Lord, then you won't learn what you should. And then, of course, the primary topic of Proverbs is wisdom and the acquisition of wisdom and understanding. And we looked at that. And then we looked at separation from the world and from evil and how that flows into friendships. Today, chapter 2, verse 7, verse 6, we look at the many blessings and promises pronounced in Proverbs on those that will walk uprightly. And this is really a theme of the Bible itself, isn't it? One of the themes of the Bible is that if we will serve God, if we will do right, God will bless us. So we're not talking here about prosperity theology. Don't misunderstand. But what we are saying is that you reap what you sow, and that when we put God first and when we serve God, we receive more blessings from the Lord. Obviously, when we do the opposite and we live in sin, then God has to, as a loving Father, chastise us. So here in Proverbs chapter 2, we'll just look at verses 6 and 7 as an introduction. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." And so today's theme is walking uprightly. Look at verse 11. It says, "Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." And then over and down to verse 20, it says, "That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous." So we're talking about walking uprightly. We're talking about walking in the way that God wants us to walk. And we're talking about walking in the path of the righteous. And this is God's will for us. And so we'll look at this topic together today. But first, let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom as we study wisdom in your precious book of wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that this will help us to see the power of putting you first and of serving you, Lord, and all the blessings involved. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to each of our hearts and use your powerful word to change us today. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's theme, walking uprightly, walking in the paths of the righteous. And you'll be amazed at all the blessings that God pronounces on those that will choose to walk uprightly. But not surprising, since it is the book of wisdom. Amen. So let's pass out some scriptures. And if you're taking notes, you can write down all these blessings that are promised. So 2:21, Brother Scott, and Howard 10:9. And let's see, 10:16, Mark, if you would read that one. And 11, anybody else in the middle willing to read? Maggie, 11:3. And over here, who are my volunteers on this side? Just raise your hand. Oh, no, I'll pass out some scriptures. Jackie, 11:6. Kelvin, or was that Connor? Kelvin, 11:11. Any others? Brad, 11:20. We'll stop there for now. So just keep track of all the blessings that God pronounces on those that will walk uprightly. So Brother Scott, we'll start over here with 2:21. Amen. Brother Howard, 10:9.
"He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known."
So notice it says walketh surely. And then 10:16, Brother Mark.
"The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked is sin."
So notice it tendeth to life. And then Maggie, 11:3. So being guided. And then 11:6. So again, delivered. And then 11:11. So even others are blessed. And then 11:20. So God's delight already. He's seeing the blessings of walking uprightly, and that's just some of the scriptures. So we'll start over, Brother Scott, 11:28, Howard 12:2, Mark 12:3, Jackie 12:6, Kelvin 12:7, and Brad 12:28. Oh, sorry, Maggie 14:2. So we'll start over here again, and you'll just, again, just keep your ears open for all the blessings pronounced upon those that will walk uprightly. So, Brother Scott, where did we finish? 11:28?
He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch.
So, flourish. 12
to... A man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will be condemned.
So, favor of the Lord for those that try to live a good life. Brother Mark, 12:3. Not moved. And then 12:6.
The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them.
Again, delivered. And then 12:7.
The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand.
So the house shall stand. And then 12:28.
In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death.
Amen. And then 14:2, Maggie. So this is just our first subtopic on this, and we're only two-thirds of the way through all the blessings that God pronounces on those that will walk uprightly. So we'll start over, Brother Scott 14:11, Howard 15:8, Mark 16:7, Maggie 16:17, Jackie 19:1, Kelvin 20 verse 7, and Brad 22:1. So, Brother Scott, 15:8. Is that the one I gave you? No. 14:11? Yeah, sorry.
The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish.
Again, flourishing, 15:8, Howard.
The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight.
So, God's delights in the prayers of the upright. And then 16:7, Mark. So peace with his enemies, and then 16:17.
The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul.
Amen. And then 19:1.
Better is the poor that walketh in integrity, and he that is perverse in his lips, and is a fool.
Amen. 20 verse 7.
Just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed.
So even the family is blessed. And then 22 verse 1. This is amazing how many blessings are pronounced upon those who decide to walk in the ways of the Lord, to walk uprightly, to obey God's commandments. Let's look at a few more. I'll just read them. 28:1 and 28:6. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So boldness is promised. 28:6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Isn't that a nice one? And then 29:18, one of my favorites. 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's a great way to finish that list. He that keepeth the law, he that obeys God's commandments, the world's looking for happiness, there's the key. Obey God. Obey God's commands. So that's just our first subtopic of this beautiful promise in the book of Proverbs, this theme that if we will choose to walk uprightly, like we saw in 2:7, our first verse, it says he is a buckler, that word means shield, unto those who will walk with him or trust him. And so God promises many, many blessings upon those who choose to walk uprightly. Any questions about that first subtopic? Comments? Observations? Anything? And so even though the charismatic movement has a completely wrong about prosperity theology, because their teaching is if you're saved, then you'll be rich and healthy, there's an aspect to their teaching that they're missing. And that is that if we will live an obedient Christian life, so it's not just that you're saved, but that you're saved in trying to obey God and serve God, he does promise that our lives will be more blessed, as opposed to living a disobedient Christian life because of the principle, which we'll look at later, you reap what you sow. That's always been a scriptural principle. All right, so moving down to chapter 2, verse 11, he talks here about discretion. We talked a bit about it before under wisdom, but now we're talking about it in light of those who will walk uprightly. And part of that is walking with discretion. So what is discretion? Anybody? What's discretion? If we're going to look at it, we better know what the word means. Nobody knows what discretion is. Yes, Beth, what's discretion? All right, so being careful would be part of discretion. Anybody else?
Wisdom.
Obviously, yes, having wisdom. Tracy? Okay, so it's a lot of it is the knowledge of what's right and what's wrong, right? That's discretion. Jackie, you had your hand up?
No.
Somebody else had their hand up. Robin?
Discernment.
I was hoping someone would use the word discernment. We read in Hebrews 5 about how if we will study the word and be in the meat of the word, that we will be able to discern both good and evil. So discretion and discernment are very close together. It's this ability to know right and wrong based on God's word. And God says here in chapter 2, verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee. So discretion actually helps protect us from the dangers of sin and the dangers of wrong, which is part of walking uprightly, is having the discretion to know what's upright and what's not. So let's look at some verses on the blessings of having discretion as we're walking uprightly. 3:21, Brother Scott. 5:2, Howard. 13:16, Mark. 14:8, Maggie. 14:15, Jackie. And 14:18, Kelvin. And 18:15, Brad. So keep discretion, Brother Howard, 5:2.
Thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge.
Amen. 13:16, Brother Mark.
A prudent man giveth with knowledge, but a fool layeth into his body.
Discretion and prudence, very close in definition. 14, verse 8. I think that was who? Maggie. Was it Maggie? What did I give you? 14:15.
The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit.
Amen. And then 14:15.
A simple believeth with every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going.
Looketh well to his going. Remember, we're talking about walking uprightly. 14:18. Crowned with knowledge. And then 18:15.
The heart of the prudent giveth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge.
And then let's look at 22:3 quickly. Now, the New Testament word for this would be circumspectly. In Ephesians chapter 5, God says that we are to walk circumspectly. That means to walk with discretion and prudence. To be careful, to look ahead, to know what's right and wrong. Notice 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So part of walking uprightly, as we saw there in chapter 2, verse 11, is having discretion. Discretion is not something that we automatically have plenty of, but we can gain it as we make this part of our lives. Because true discretion comes from true wisdom, which comes from God. So let's go back to our chapter 2, where we're kicking off this theme of walking uprightly and the blessings of walking uprightly, the blessings of walking with discretion. And I want to see this word paths here in verse 20. He says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So part of walking uprightly is walking in the path that God wants us to walk. Walk in the way of the righteous. And as we know, there are many paths in life, and they will lead us in different directions. We can take the path of the righteous, or we can take the path of the wicked. God has given us the free will to make that choice. Let's look at a little bit more in chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. Brother Scott, would you read those for us, please?
Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
Isn't that a great passage? So let thine eyes look right on. In other words, know the path and take it. Ponder the path. That's good, isn't it? Consider the path that you're on. Make sure it's the right path. And then, once you've made that decision, don't get knocked off the path. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. I mean, is the devil trying to get us to get off the path? Absolutely. So, and evil is as well, our flesh. All of these things are trying to get us to take a different path. And God says, look straight on. In other words, don't get sidetracked. So part of walking uprightly and being blessed for walking uprightly is pondering the paths of our feet, pondering the direction that we're taking and making sure that we're walking on the path or the way of the righteous. So God has a lot to say about our paths. Let's look at some scriptures together. So Brother Howard, 3:6. And Mark 4:14, and Maggie 4:18, and Jackie 11:5, and Kelvin 14:2, and Brad 16:17. And what we're talking about here is taking the path of the righteous, pondering the path of our feet, and this is all part of walking uprightly. So chapter 3, verse 6.
In all ways acknowledge him.
Now, how many already know that verse by heart? A lot of us, right? But when we think about that verse, usually we focus on verse 5, don't we? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. But verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And that's what we're talking about here, the path of the righteous. Okay, Brother Mark 4:14. The path of the wicked, the way of evil men. Maggie 4:18.
The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
So God says that if we take the path that we should be taking, that is just going to keep getting better, even though we keep getting older. 11 verse 5.
The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness.
Direct his way. 14 verse 2. Amen. And then 16:17.
The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul.
So part of being on the right path or the right highway, scripturally speaking, is to what? Depart from evil. Amen. We keep coming back to this. Okay, so let's look at just a couple more. 19, verse 2, Brother Scott, 21, verse 16, Brother Howard, and 27, 8, Brother Mark. We're talking here about pondering the path of our feet, the paths of the righteous, the way of the righteous, in light of walking uprightly. So, Brother Scott, 19, 2.
Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth.
So, in other words, be careful, right, about your path. Brother Howard, 21:16.
A man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead.
So have we ever met Christians that wandered out of the way? All the time. And then 27, verse 8.
As a man that wandereth from his place, so is a man that wandereth from his place.
Wandereth from his place. So God has promised amazing blessings if we will choose the path of the righteous, if we will choose to walk uprightly. And then that last phrase we saw there in chapter 4, it says, look straight on, ponder the path, but then it says, turn not to the right hand or to the left. In other words, don't get sidetracked off of the path by evil, by the devil, by the world, and so forth. And so we'll look at some scriptures. But before we do, any thoughts or questions up to this point? I haven't asked that enough times. Walking uprightly, choosing the path of the righteous. Brother Mark.
Yeah, we can't get to the right destination by taking the wrong direction.
That's right.
We have a world that's determined to try and get to the right destination, but they're taking the wrong direction.
They're on the wrong path. And they'll never get there, like you said. You have to literally change paths, don't you? You have to jump from one to the other and get saved first. Because what's Jesus say in Matthew 7? Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But what? Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's sad, but it's true. Any other thoughts or questions? Jackie? When we walk uprightly, we definitely please God.
So it's probably just more of a worldly Christian. It's something that I've read or whatever. It's just the thought that I know that often comes into my head that we as Christians can't do anything to please God.
Probably you've heard that in the context of salvation. Because the world is trying to earn heaven, right, by doing works, by obeying their church, getting baptized, whatever. And in that context, you cannot satisfy God's justice, and thereby you can't please God when you're unsaved. That you just can't, because you're not one of his children. So I think that's the context that you've read that in, is that we cannot earn heaven, we cannot earn God's favor by doing good works. However, once we are his children, just like with our own children, it pleases us when they obey us and when they do what we tell them to do. It pleases God greatly when we obey him and follow his right path. Yes? Well, that might be another context. Is like Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So, yeah, if we're trying to do right in our own strength and not with God's power and help, then we're also wasting our time, because without Jesus, we can do nothing. But with Jesus, we can please God. The Bible talks about the sacrifices he's very satisfied with in Hebrews chapter 13. And he's talking there about the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving and obedience. Yes? That's correct, Isaiah 64, verse 6. says even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But again, what's the context of that? The context is trying to earn salvation through righteousnesses. You can't do it. And what God is saying is we are so wicked that all of our good works are a waste of time. And that no, people aren't going to get to heaven just because they were good. But once we are God's children, now we're 100% righteous in Jesus, right? We already have heaven. We're already going to heaven. Now we're God's children. And does it please our Heavenly Father when His children obey Him? Absolutely. It brings Him much pleasure. Maggie?
Are you thinking about Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible?
That's correct. But He can be pleased when we have faith. I saw another hand. That's right. But when we have faith and when we obey God, it brings Him pleasure. Let's just look quickly at Hebrews 13. I don't know the reference. I'm looking quickly. And this is just one example that came to mind. Verse 15. It says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." What God is saying here is that it is a sacrifice that God accepts and God enjoys, if you will, when we what? Praise Him and thank Him. So when we praise the Lord, when we thank the Lord, God is calling it a sacrifice that we can offer. And He's liking it to the Old Testament sacrifices when they would sacrifice animals for sin. It's saying when we praise and thank the Lord, that's a sacrifice that God is pleased with. So God is definitely pleased when we obey Him. And God blesses His children. I mean, it's just like with our own children. That's why He likens it to the same relationship, father and child. When our children are living obediently, are we not more likely to want to bless them than when they're living like the devil? It's the same with God. And this is a theme of Old and New Testament, that it pleases God when we obey His word. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, there's a parable talking about the servant. And the servant's doing what he's meant to be doing, you know. And as a Christian, we shouldn't be thinking, oh, I'm doing this because you're making me more righteous or it's making me righteous. It's our duty. It's
our duty to do.
So basically, it's just our, what's expected of us.
That's right.
It's what's expected of us, not something we're thinking, okay, we're doing this is righteous, or we're doing that, that's unrighteous in a sense, because we're washed. But what it is saying is that it's how expected of us.
That's Luke 17 he's referring to, where it says, likewise, when you've done all those things which are commanded, you say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. And it's talking about the servant who does what he's supposed to do for his master. These are things we're supposed to do because he's given us eternal life. He's saved us. He's made us part of his family. And so, no, we're not supposed to honor and please God and serve God to try to earn something. We're supposed to do it because we love Him. And we're so grateful for our salvation, we want to. But it is our duty to obey. But it does, all through the Scripture, we find God is pleased when His children obey Him. Those are very good observations and questions. Anything else before we finish looking at the path, and not to get sidetracked off of this path of the upright, the path of the righteous? So remember 4:27, it said, look straight on and don't get sidetracked by evil. And let's look at some scriptures on that. I'm going to have to start over because I forgot where I was. So Brother Scott 14:16 and Brother Howard 16:6 and Brother Mark 16:17, Maggie 17:24, Jackie 23:5 and Kelvin 28:10. So 14:16.
A wise man heareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident.
So again, departeth from evil. 16:6.
mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil.
Depart from evil. 16:17, Mark.
The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth the soul.
And then 17:24. Amen. 21:5. Oh, 23:5. It's my. So can riches sidetrack us off the path? Absolutely. And in 28:10. So even some cause the righteous to go astray into an evil way. So all of this, walk uprightly. God promises many blessings if we will choose to obey Him and follow His paths. Now again, our motivation is we're not trying to earn His favor. As Jackie's pointed out, we already have it because we're already 100% righteous in Christ. That is not our motivation. He already approves of us 100% as His children, as His blood-bought, saved ones. However, as our Heavenly Father now, He wants His children to please Him and obey Him and show our love through our obedience to His commands. And when we do, He promises blessings. When we don't, He promises chastisement, which is another topic we'll be looking at soon over in chapter 3, which says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. That's the other side of the coin, is as our Heavenly Father, if we choose to disobey, He's promised as a good Father to correct us when we need it. You reap what you sow. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So very interesting, very powerful topic about walking uprightly. Any thoughts or questions? Jackie.
I like that word wonder because it makes you picture someone sort of just dawdling along the way and, oh, that's something nice we've got to be. And it just makes you think that a Christian life is a life of discipline and you have to focus on the heart every day that you're going to focus on the Lord, because I know how easy it is when you don't do that.
Mm.
And so it's just a constant.
Absolutely. The discipline never ends. We're going to talk about in the morning service about our moderation. Any other thoughts or questions, observations? Yes? Yes, hallelujah for His mercy, His long-suffering, His grace. Because, you know, if God punished us in accordance with our disobedience as His children, then we would all be dead. Let's be real. Because we break His laws every day. But that's not the kind of Father that He is. He's very merciful and patient and wants what's best for us. And He's going to keep working to try to get us molded and shaped and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that we might please Him through our obedience. Any other thoughts or questions? Very good discussion this morning. Mark?
It's just sad to think that how the world has just twisted everything into making actually God look completely opposite than what He actually is.
Absolutely. That's the devil. He's the god of this world. And he hates God Almighty, and he's going to do everything he can to make the world essentially hate God. And he's doing a good job of it, isn't he? Yes, Phil?
It's sad sometimes how Christians can sometimes get that, you know, some of the Christians churches out there sort of have the same approach. If you don't do what's right, you'll get into the zap.
Well, the perspective of God Himself has really been distorted by this whole big mega church charismatic movement, to where people just aren't taught the Bible anymore, and a lot of the stuff they're taught is just man's ideas about God rather than what the Bible says. And you're right, they have, a lot of Christians have a distorted view of God Himself, which is sad, very sad. Feeling? It's all a product of faith.
Because it's really hard to walk with God if you don't have the relationship with God.
You cannot if you're not saved, obviously. But even as Christians, again, two people mentioned Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please Him. But with faith, it's possible to please Him. Last call. Tracy? Absolutely.
It's quite fascinating just that and how God works in each of our lives differently, different timings, and it just really is a work of a lifetime.
It is a work, and that's a good statement. It's not something that you get saved and a week later it's all done. It's a lifelong, I hate the word process, but it is a lifelong thing that God is working in our lives to mold us and try to shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. And it's a long process because we're so stubborn. So it takes a lot of work. What's that? It's a total miracle that He would save us, first of all, but then that He would care enough to continue working in our lives to try to mold us and make us more like Jesus. Very good. Let's close in prayer.